Okay, so what we're going to try to do is try to give a very basic overview of some Inyanei Erevin, and then we'll just talk about some background information tonight, and then we'll try to plug in some of the other Inyanei Erevin that come up in Maseches Sukkah. So what that means is we'll just discuss why you need an Erev in general tonight, and then we're going to talk really about Rishriyos tonight, and we'll talk more about actual types of machitzos, which is what's really relevant to Hilchos Sukkah, a little bit later. So probably we'll knock off most of the introductory stuff tonight, and then we'll go into actual sukkah-related sugyas next time or the time after that. Okay, so first of all, it's important to know that when we say the word Eruv, what do we really mean, right? What is an Eruv? An Eruv is not what the Gemara calls an Eruv from Maseches Eruvin is not what we call an Eruv. What we call an Eruv is really what? What we call an Eruv is a Tzuras HaPesach, right? What the Gemara calls an Eruv is the matzahs, right? Or the bread or whatever, right? If like you had an Eruv Tavshilin or an Eruv Chatzeros or an Eruv Tchumin, right? Those are all types of Eruvin. We also, in our Gemara, we discuss Shitufei Mavuos. They're all based on the same klal, which is that a person has a right to be koveh his makam dira through being koveh his seuda there, and he has to have a certain amount of food in order that could be considered the place where he's living. And once he's considered to be living in that area, then those rishuyos are not differentiated between one and the other. This is all a requirement midirabbanan to have these eruvin, especially assuming tchumin, you know, is only midirabbanan. And especially considering, one guy's rishus, asers on another guy's rishus, can even be within a rishus hayachid, but you would still need them to be mishtatif in a box of matzahs that they're going to keep in somebody's property, and that has to belong to everybody. So this is not what we're talking about tonight. We're not talking about those types of erevin. We're talking about the types of erevin which we call machitzos. That's going to be, meaning again, those things did get mentioned. Those things did get mentioned in Maseches Sukkah, but more just in Agav in the early, Gimel Mid Beis, he mentioned Eruvei Chatzeros and Shita Mavus and Eruvei Tchumen in terms of what's a valid environment to put those Erevin into. But that's not really going to help us for our discussion, which is really going to center around Machitzos. But before we get into the discussion of Machitzos, let's just see why you need a Machitzos. So first of all, There's a Brice in Maseches Shabbos and Davav Amid Aleph, which says that there are four Rishuyos for Shabbos. Those four Rishuyos, as you know, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, and the two that are less famous are called Carmelis and Makom Ptur. Now, what do these things mean? So let's just say, first of all, Rishus HaYachid we're going to define as private domain, right? Something which is owned by private individuals. Rishus HaRabim is a public domain, something which, is, as we'll see, actually can't be owned by anybody, but also is available for private travel. And Makom Ptur basically means no man's land. It's not Rishus HaYachid, it's not Rishus HaRabim. It's mutter to move from a Rishus HaRabim to a Makom Ptur, and then from the Makom Ptur into Rishus HaYachid, and vice versa, right? And similarly, But midirabbanan, the rabbis were gozer on most, you know, types of Makom Ptur, that those are going to be called a Carmelis. A Carmelis is treated as a Rishus HaRabim midirabbanan, right? Midiraisa, it's totally mutter to carry from Rishus HaYachid to a Carmelis, but midirabbanan, they forbade it because, as you'll see, there's a very fine line between a Makom Ptur and Rishus HaRabim. Sometimes some poskim will call it a Rishus HaRabim, and sometimes they'll call it a Makom Ptur, and the lines get very blurred, and therefore, the Rabbanan were gozer on pretty much every Makom Ptur, except for a few rare exceptions, which we're not really going to get into, I don't think, unless you're interested in that sort of thing. The only type of Makom Ptur that's readily available and useful to us, I think, is a fire hydrant, because it's the right height and it's not wide enough to have a sheer makom. So I think they say that the best thing to do if you accidentally are in a place, if you're in a place that doesn't have an Eruv, and you accidentally walk out of the house with something in your pocket, so the best thing to do is to keep going, right? We talked about this last year in Ksuvis, Right, keep going. Don't do a hanacha in Rosh Hashanah. That's the worst thing you can do, is to do akir in Rosh Hashanah, hanacha in Rosh Hashanah. So what you can do is you can keep going, and then when you see a fire hydrant, you can put it down on top of the fire hydrant, because that's actually still a makam tur, even on a level of derabanan. So if you ever have that problem, you can look for a fire hydrant anyway. But Balamaisa, for our purposes, makam tur doesn't really exist. It's really all a karmelis. So that being said, we have to define our terms. So how do you define a Rishus HaYachid? So basically, Rishus HaYachid is defined as a place that is surrounded by machitzos. That's the real definition of Rishus HaYachid. It's surrounded by machitzos, and it's a machlokes, I believe machlokes tanoim, and I'm a further machlokes amaroim, as to how many machitzos you really need in order to make something Rishus HaYachid midoraisa. You either need 2 machitzas or you need 3 machitzas to make something into Rosh Hashanah Midoraisa. I think we generally assume that Midoraisa you need 3 machitzos in order to make it into Rosh Hashanah, and Midorabanan obviously need a 4th machitza as well. Right? And that's that you already have in the opening sugya in Sukkah. Fine. So that being said, what type of machitzos are good for this? So the way Rav Shechter always presented it when he was doing Hilchos Erevin is he mentioned this tshuva in the Chacham Tzvi, Simen Hei, where he goes through 3 possible types of machitzos that could exist. Now obviously the first type of machitza is what we call machitzos mamish, right? Those are machitzos which are 10 tefachim high, and they're walls. They can, you know, you can prevent passersby from knocking into them, you know, they can give you some privacy, whatever that is. Once it's already 10 tefachim high, then there's halacha Moshe Mishnah that says good asik mechitza that we have. What daf is that on already? Hayim and Beis, Vav Amud Aleph. Good asik dofen akuma. That's a shurin chatitzin mechitzin. What? Dalad. Dofen akuma. But they at the end when they say finally what's shurin chatitzin mechitzin halacha Moshe Mishnah. Hey, I'm in Bayes, and they said, all right, so what is it talking about in the end? So then the maskana of that Gemara, they say, what is here? So what is chatzitzin, good love, and dofen akuma? So one of the halachos l'moshe misinai, we say by mechitzas is good asik mechitzta, that it's ki'ilu, it's ola adarakia. Okay, so that's the, you know, if you want to solve all the world's problems, you could just put up real mechitzos, and everything will be Rosh Hashanah. So we know that that's not going to happen. You can't have real walls around in a large neighborhood, a large area. There's no government in the world that will allow that to exist. So what we end up with is other possibilities in terms of what types of machitzas to build. Well, before we get into those types, so other types of naturally occurring machitzas would constitute let's say a tel gavoa yud tfachim, v'rach of shir makam. What does that mean? It would mean that if you have a hill or a mound that's 10 tefachim high, and it's at least 4 tefachim wide on top, which is a sheer makam, right? We talked about that in terms of Xeris Tikra, right? You can't have nisarim that are wider than 4 tefachim. So too, if you have this area which is 4 tefachim wide on top, and 10 tefachim high all around, so that we say good asik mechitzta on those mechitzos as well. Now, where are the mechitzos? They don't exist, but they are on the sides of the tail going up, right? So that constitutes mechitzos as far as good asik can apply. Let's say I was standing on this table. Let's pretend this table goes all the way down straight and it has mechitzos on every side going down to the ground. So we would view those mechitzos as going up adurakia. And if I was standing on top of this table, although it's not wide enough, if I was standing on top of this table, then the table would constitute a rishus hayachid midoraisa. Now, one sec. This actually comes up in our Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, where we talk about Sichech al Gabe Amud, right? So there was a Havamina that was Kshera, right? That was if you had a platform, right? So you had a box, whatever. You had a box, and you stood up on the box. So it's and then you have Schach standing on some type of a frame around you. So it's possible that would be kosher. The Gemara rejects this because we need mechitzos Hanikaros. Similarly, we had the case of Noatz Dalet Kundisin on the edges of the roof, if you recall. So if you're standing on the top of the roof, that also would constitute Rishus HaYachid Minatora because you are surrounded by the walls of the building, and the walls of the building are considered to continue ad l'rakia, and for some reason there, Rashi says it wouldn't be a problem the chitzas anikaros in that case, if the kundisin were on the edges of the roof. We'll have to try to go back to that and discuss why that wouldn't be a problem. But on an Erevin level, for Hilchos Shabbos, that is not a problem. That's considered, or should say, a hayachid min ha-Torah. Yeah?
So chitzas anikaros is only their abundant requirement?
Not necessarily.
I thought you just said that. If you stand on the table, it would be a good...
Oh, yeah. No, mechitzas nikaros would be a requirement for sukkah. That would be one of the major, the many differences between sukkah versus Shabbos. Meaning for Hilchos Shabbos, that's like for example, when we get to the migu, hopefully we'll talk about the migu a little bit also. So when we get to the migu, that it's a good... So it would only work on Shabbos, which is also sukkah. So it wouldn't work on sukkah stam. Because again, as we'll see, there are differences between mechitzos for Shabbos and mechitzos for Sukkah. But let's just get to the definitions of mechitzos for Shasa Yachid, and then we'll hopefully next time or two times from now get to the differences a little bit, you know, hopefully. Okay, and the last type, I don't have to confess, I never really paid close attention in elementary school when they were talking about this, but you guys probably know what the continental shelf is. Anybody ever heard of the continental shelf? Can somebody describe it to me?
You described it to me.
Right, so, but better than my description to you, I told you that it exists. I don't really know exactly how it gets there. Anyway, apparently, you know, I thought it was because of the waves, but I don't remember. I remember in my, like, seventh grade book, you know, textbook, there was, like, a picture of how the waves form the continental shelf. Apparently, in the water that surrounds the continents, there is a place in the water where eventually it goes straight up, where the land underneath the water goes straight up, and for at least a period of 10 tefachim, and that exists all around pretty much every continent and, you know, some rivers and you know, oceans and whatever. So that also constitutes a mechitza of gudasik mechitza, and that's actually a beferish gemara in Irvin on the Chaf Bezim at base, where it talks about the Sulma Ditzur. It's like a ladder of rocks. I think that's referring to the continental shelf. I'm not sure. But it's talking about a place where it's surrounded by water, and the stones, or the earth underneath, constitutes a mechitza of 10 tefachim, right, below ground level till it gets to the water, and or even sometimes underneath the water. And that's considered a mechitza also, like as we said, using the principle of gudasik. So those are your basic three types of mechitzas that you're ever going to find. Although there are others, as we'll mention, but there's an interesting tosfos there on Chav Bezim at Bezim Erev in Stivra Maschel Dilma, where he asks a simple kasha. He says, okay, if that's a valid form of a mechitza, then the entire world is a Rishus Harabim, except for the ocean. Right? I'm saying every continent is a Rishus Hayachid. I said Rabim? No, I don't remember. Anyway, what Tosfos asks is the entire world is Rishus Hayachid. Why? Because the entire world is surrounded by the continental shelf, and every landmass you have that's surrounded by water has, you know, okay, so it's good. It has mechitzas surrounding it. So why do we ever have a problem of carrying? Okay, some amela midraisa will say that it is Rishus Hayachid, midrabanan will say that we're going to treat it as a karmelis. So worst case scenario, the whole world is only a karmelis. You know, so just, and why would you even have to make such a gzera to make it into a karmelis? A gzera atu what? That if he goes boating one day? A gzera atu, what are we afraid of? The whole world is good to go. So that's Tosfos' kasha, basically. Yeah?
I don't know if it's the same question as Tosfos, but like, assuming that there are four like Rishus HaYachids like in the world, then wouldn't that therefore corner off the Rishus HaRabim, that is, I guess, in between those four Rishus HaYachids and make it into a Rishus HaYachid itself?
I don't know. I'm not sure how that would work. Could be, but I think they're not surrounding the ocean in the classic sense. I don't know. Yeah?
Tosa is asking that the continental shelves should all form one big mechitza around, or is that...
Meaning if you're in the north, and you're in North America, so the land, the continental shelf leading around North America is a mechitza.
Right.
So Europe and Mela surrounded by mechitzas. Yeah.
There's no limit of space in, like, you could have a box around the world.
So that's the Havamin in Tosa. So when Tosa asks the Kasha, he seems to be assuming that you can have the whole world in mechitzas. Now, Tosfos's answer is a little bit cryptic. Tosfos's answer is I'll read you the lashon. So the Yesh Lomer, the mechitzah she'ena asui b'dei adam lo chashiv mechitzah kulei hai. Right? A mechitzah that's natural, it's not made b'dei adam, it's not on the same level of a mechitzah which is made b'dei adam. It's not a full, it's not considered a mechitzah all that much. V'afilu rabbanan modu da'asu rabim umavatle mechitzah. And even the rabbanan, without getting involved with that discussion, as we'll get to that soon, everybody would agree that in this case, there's a klal of asu rabim umavatle mechitzah, that people can come, if they travel through that mechitzah, then the mechitzah is ki'ilu, it's not there. And therefore, since people are traveling over and around the continental shelf, and it wasn't maybe day adam, so that mechitzah is considered batel. That's the basic premise of Tosfos's teretz. Yeah.
Didn't you
say Rishus Yachid doesn't have to be owned by anything. Rishus Harabim can't be owned by somebody for it to be a real Rishus Harab. Yeah. Anyway, so the Chazon Ish, which is in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Ches Sifkat in Yud Aleph, Chazon Ish basically comes out with three rules from this Tosfos. So I don't think Rav Shechter mentioned this when we were learning Hilchos Erevin, but I think he writes it in one of his articles that Chazon Ish didn't have access to the Tosfos HaRosh, but the Tosfos HaRosh ends up learning exactly like the Chazon Ish or something like that. I looked in the Tosfos HaRosh on that Tosfos. He doesn't really say anything extra, but the Chazon Ish does say this. He says basically, come out with three klalim. Number one is there's a difference between mechitzas asuyas bidei adam versus asuyas bidei shamayim, right? That's obvious. Number two, so if there bidei shamayim and there's a very large area, right? If there's a very large area, so that's already too much. There's a maximum amount of area that can be covered by natural mechitzos. So what is that space? He wants to say, Chazon Ish wants to say, it's the shear of a karpif. Karpif is a gzeira midrabbanan, that if you have a field, which basically you're not allowed to walk on, right? If you're a farmer and you plant, you know, crops in your field, you don't want people walking through that field. That would be ruining your crops and destroying your livelihood. So basically, the shear of a karpif is 100 by 50 amos. Not that big. Saying 100 by 50 amos. And that area is considered a rishus, it's considered a karmelis no matter what. Even if it's in a rishus ayachid. Even if you have a rishus ayachid that's surrounded with mechitzas, it doesn't work on that karpif. So that's the amount. Also, the Chazon Ish wants to say that midaraisa mechitzos that were not maybe de adam are only good for that amount of space. And based on that, Rav Shechter wanted to say that the whole gzeira of karpif was a standard called a tikkun rabbanan. Ke'in d'oraisa tiknu, that there really is a din d'oraisa of karpif, but it's not exactly the way the rabbanan made. The rabbanan then took that and applied it to other cases, which is, like we said, that if you have mechitzos that are done bidei shamayim, they can only extend up until that area. And more than that, they don't work. Right? And basically, you have to feel like you're surrounded by mechitzos. You can't just, if you have these, so if you had mechitzos that you built yourself, so then you don't have to feel it so much. You don't have to feel that you were surrounded by mechitzos so much. But if there were mechitzos like the continental shelf that were there, bidei shamayim, so then you have to at least, there has to be a small enough area that you can, you know, see the light at the end of the tunnel. You have to know that there's like, there are these mechitzos around you. If you're sort of in this humongous city that's all surrounded, so you can't really rely on that. That was rule number two. Let me just do rule number three. And then obviously, if you want to have mechitzos that are b'dei shamayim, so you can't have a situation where it's asay rab mevatle mechitzos, that people are just walking right through them or traveling over them by boat or something like that. That's going to be mevatle those mechitzos for sure. Okay. But what ends up coming out is, from this, is that according to Tosfos, these, the way the Chazon Ish is understanding at least, if you were to build mechitzos yourself, and you wouldn't have this, problem of being too big of an area, or having all these other issues, and therefore you could make one huge set of mechitzos around an entire city, an entire country, it wouldn't really matter, and it would all work. That's all according to Tosfos. Yeah.
Have you seen Tosfos that too big of land wouldn't be valid? I thought it was just the passing through that makes the content of the shelf invalid, like not valid because people pass through. Where do we see that it was the too big of land in Tosfos?
Tosfos's lushan was what? Right, so he says, what does it mean? It's lo chashiva machitza kulehai. That's the problem. Meaning, it is a machitza. So what does he mean? It's not machitza kulehai. So I think the way the Chazon Ish is understanding the Tosfos is that it's not called a machitza kol zman that you realize. It's called a machitza kol zman that you sort of realize you're inside the machitzas. But once you sort of forget about it, then we're going to say that the machitza kind of forgets about you as well. That it doesn't really help anymore. I think that seems being the dyke from those few words. Again, it seems if I assume there's a Tosa Rush somewhere that Shechter was referring to. Often you'll have one of the reasons Tosa Rush is so much better than the regular Tosfos is that it's unedited, right? It's not didn't have to have chop out lines in order to fit it on a page or anything like that. It was unedited for however long till they started publishing it. So a more authentic form of the Tosfos seems to indicate that this was also that may have been what that tiny little phrase in Tosfos was referring to. I don't know. Anyway, there is another opinion in terms of this whole question, even the Ritva quotes the Vishem the Ramban. The Ritva is also on that daf in Erevin and Steve Ramaskel, the Ha Makif. He quotes Vishem his Rebbe, the Ramban. He says that even if it's machitzas that are asuyim v'day adam, you still have to feel like you're mukav machitzos. Right? And if you don't feel like you're mukav machitzos, then we say that you're not considered to be inside Rishu Siyachid. So he doesn't apply the kula of Tosfos, which seems to say that once they're made b'day adam, you don't have to realize that they're there, nothing. But according to the Ramban, it seems that you would have to always know that you're inside these machitzas. I don't know, the minig is to be makel. I think that, most of our neighborhoods, you don't notice the machitzos, you don't notice anything, really, going around. Sometimes you could be looking at the Erev and you won't find it, because the average Erev is much more complicated than a simple Tzuras HaPesach, the way we make it. You're going to have... It's done much differently because you can't. It's not like if you go to a camp or you go to a bungalow colony, then you can see the Erev, you can see every single Tzuras HaPesach. But if you in a city or even a suburban neighborhood, you're just not going to be able to. The government is not just going to allow you to constantly put up, kanamikan, kanal gabeim all over the city. It's not going to happen. So you have to improvise with different structures that are already in existence. That's why sometimes if you look at a map of the Erev, you can see in the map that you're at the edge of the Erev and you won't even see the Erev. You won't, because if you don't know what you're looking for, then you won't notice it. I see it all the time. I walk on Branch Boulevard whenever I come out of North Woodmere, basically, and I know Branch Boulevard is in the Erev, but it's also the end of the Erev. It's not the Erev doesn't extend over that the water area over there. And I'm looking, where is this Erev that I'm supposedly in? And then it hit me that they were using, it wasn't Stam, that they were using Tzuras HaPesachs all around. They were using the fences that the houses, I'm making this up, it might not be true. But I think they're using the fences in the back of the houses there. Saying that, I think that's part of the Erev, because there's this one little spot where there's no fence. And then you see a tiny little, you see a wire going across two poles right there. There's like a little Tzuras HaPesach right there. I'm like, what do you need one Tzuras HaPesach? What's that doing for anybody? And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, it must be that they're using all of the actual mechitzos that are going across the back of the backyards that are, on Arbuckle, around the corner there. And those are that's the Erev. And then there's that one spot that there nobody has a fence in the back over there, so that's where they need the one Tzuras HaPesach, and then they already have the fence that goes around the fishing area, so it's not. So I was looking for the Erev and I still couldn't find it. So sometimes you just have to know what you're looking for. So I don't know. Again, I could even be wrong. Could be I'm still looking for the Erev and I haven't found it. I don't know. So, but Lamaisa, I think I found it. Anyway, so getting back, so we definitely don't seem to be machmir that a person needs to know that he's within the mechitzas of the Eruv. But, okay, Lamaisa, most of our Eruvin constituted Tzuris HaPesach. The Gemara mentions the concept of Tzuris HaPesach many times, including a bunch of times in Sukkah. Right, not even talking about the third wall requiring Tzuris HaPesach. They also talk about being Mesachich with using only Tzuris HaPesachs. And the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yud Aleph basically lays out the rules for what constitutes a Tzuris HaPesach. And basically, as we said, you need a Kanamikan, Kanag Al Gaben. Right, so we generally assume that all you need is the tzura of a door. You don't actually need a door. What's that based on? That's based on a svara that if you have a house, or if you have an actual mechitzas, so in order to get in and out of your house, you're going to need a door. Right, so obviously a door constitutes a mechitza. So the kasha is what? So that means every time I open the door to my house, my house is no longer inside the Eruv? And every time I close the door to my house is back inside the Eruv? The answer is no. So what you see is that even an open doorway can constitute a mechitza. So even just a tzuris ha-pesach with no door attached to it can constitute a mechitza. That's basically the way the Gemara comes up with this idea. Nowadays, most Erevin are not comprised of any real mechitzos without a Tzuris HaPesach or with an additional Tzuris HaPesach. It's just Tzuris HaPesach, but it seems from the Gemara that that's really all you ever need. You can just have an entire Erev comprised of Tzuris HaPesachs. So that's basically where they learn it from. And there's all kinds of rules. It has to be properly placed. It has to be a Kana Mikan, V'Kana Al Gabeim. Right? The Kana, the third Kana, which technically, in the Lashon of the Gemara, is a reed or it's a piece of wood. We don't really use a piece of wood. We usually use fishing wire, right? We use that's pretty strong stuff, and you can pull it really tight. Has to be on top of the kana properly. It can't be on the side of the kana. It can't be coming out of the middle of the kana. It has to be on the top. That's why the way you'll see them do most Erevin is you'll see that they put the, well, you call it a lechi, not. Mitzad Hilchos Lechi, but they'll put a Lechi into the ground, and then they'll put a nail on top of it, and then they'll tie the fishing rope around that nail. That way it's always going to be right on top of the Erev. The problem is, as I mentioned, most of the time you can't make a Tzuris HaPesach in a city, so they have to use the pre-existing wires, either telephone wires or electrical wires, or I don't know what else. I'm sure there's plenty of other wires. But that they have to use those wires. So the problem is, if you look at the telephone poles, the wires aren't going on top of the pole. So how is it that you're allowed to use those wires? So that's why, if you'll notice, I was told in Eretz Yisrael, what they'll do is they'll use a barrel. You know, I don't know, what else? When else do you ever see a barrel? Right? So I said in Eretz Yisrael, to make the Erev, they'll use a barrel, and the barrel will be at least 10 tefachim high, and it's very wide around the bottom of the telephone pole, there's this barrel. So that way the barrel is like its own lechi, it's like its own mechitza, it goes straight up to Shemayim, and then the telephone wire that they're using for the Tzuris HaPesach is going to definitely be directly on top of the barrel. What ends up happening in America is, I don't think too many American cities ever use a barrel. I remember I was once in Binghamton for Shavuos. There was the guy I was staying at his house. He's a Rav, and he was also the principal of the elementary school. I don't remember exactly, but a very knowledgeable guy. So he was showing me the Erev as we were going, and he said, we don't use any Tzuris HaPesach. He was explaining to me at the time, we use lechiayim, we use lechis, attached to the telephone poles. And I saw basically he was showing me which ones had it, and basically you had a thin lechi, like probably, I don't know, a couple of inches, maybe 2-3 inches wide, going up the height of the telephone pole, and it would go far high enough that they were pretty sure, you know, by pretty sure hopefully means absolutely sure, that the telephone wire was right on top of it. And then you could say good asik for the lechi, and the telephone wire would be right on top of it. So you see, and the Gemara says they don't have to connect. You can use good asik to form your Tzuris HaPesach. So basically that would be the way they do it in most urban areas. I don't know. I mean, if you'd have to, what's his name? Shlomo Zalman's brother, I think is the big bucky in the Erev around here with the Yeshiva. The Yeshiva Gedola like takes care of the Erev. I think he's their guy who does it. So if you ever, he could probably give you a tour if you're ever interested. I don't know. Yeah.
And Tzuras HaPesach is what acts as a
mechitza? Tzuras HaPesach constitutes a mechitza based on the same the svara we used before. The Gemara basically says Tzuras HaPesach always constitutes a mechitza, just like in a house or in a chatzar, you're going to have a Tzuras HaPesach there, and it's called a mechitza, just like the rest of the house. So we use an Erev, which is completely made up of Tzuras HaPesachs.
Like one kana is on one side of the town, and then one's another.
Wait. So here you have a machlokas, which we're not going to get into tonight, of how far apart are the Tzuras HaPesachs allowed to be.
Okay,
but let's assume not. I think the Rambam is the one who's machmir. After the Chaz are over, what everybody holds, I think the Rambam is the one who's machmir. They have to be less than or equal to 10 amos apart. If you have a piritza yeser meyeser, if you have a piritza that's farther than 10 amos apart, even if you have a tzuris pesach going the whole way, that's already too much if it's more than 10 amos apart. But I don't think we paskin that way, la halacha. Again, you have to remember something. There's no such thing as an Erev that's kosher l'chol hadeis. Absolutely doesn't exist. That's why you have people who are not somech on Erevin. There are rabbanim who aren't somech on the Erev that they're the Rav HaMachshir for. I'm saying, and not because they don't hold that it's a good Erev. Within the accepted views in Hilchas Erevin, this is perfectly good. You know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that if you know all the Shitas, you're going to know that even on the Achronim level, this Erev is not, you know, it's not L'chol HaDeis. I'm just telling you, Lamaisa, there's so many varying opinions when it comes to Hilchas Erevin. You're never going to get an Erev that's kosher L'chol HaDeis. It's impossible. Can't be done. Anyway, unless you have real mechitzas around, you know, your backyard might be an Erev that's kosher L'chol HaDeis, you know, but that's really Rosh Hashanah anyway. All right, whatever. Lamaisa.
So basically, they have whatever, every certain interval distance, like another.
They'll have another lechi attached to a telephone wire that basically makes it into a Tzuras HaPesach.
Uh-huh.
That's my guess as to what these. Again, I've never seen the Five Towns Erev. I don't know what it is, I'm saying, but that's my guess as to what they probably use for the majority of it.
But you can't go from one end all the way to the other with the two
lefties. No. I mean, again, there are Rishonim that hold you could. If it would, Lu Yitzur, you could do it without it breaking.
Right.
So then it's possible that you could have, according to some opinions, you could have such a thing. But Lamaisa, doesn't exist. can't be done. Anyway, all right. So that's the basic introduction to Tzuras HaPesach. What else? Okay, so there's even halacha lemaisa. It's amazing that it got this far, but the achronim have a machlokis as to what the status of Tzuras HaPesach is on a level of deraisa. There is a prima godim. The Prima Gadim holds that a Tzuras HaPesach only works midirabbanan. It says it would not work on any type of Rish Sarab Daraisa. And he basically the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Bir Halacha and that's the Shita of the Prima Gadim. Whereas the Minig Olam is against that Prima Gadim. We assume that Tzuras HaPesach works on a level of Daraisa, and that's the simple implication of the Gemara. And there's a Chazanish who says like that, and he quotes it from Beferish Tosfos. Chazanish is in Or HaChaim Siman Ayin Siv Katan Yud Gimel, and he quotes that Tosfos agrees with him. Tosfos is on Chaf Beis Amid Aleph and Irvin Diramaskel V'Ha'am Reb Yochanan, and he has a Beferish Araya from, and Tosfos quotes this Araya also. I don't think the Chazanish was Mechadish any of this. I think he's just quoting the Tosfos. He quotes the Raya from basically the Dina of Kiloi HaKerem. It's a Gemara in Erevin Yid Aleph Amid Aleph, based on Mishnayos and Kilayim, that Kiloi HaKerem, basically, if you have wheat planted over here and you have grapes planted over there, so you have an Issa D'Oraisa to mix the two, right? So how do you avoid it? Right? I don't know. You had this in the beginning of Bava Basra also. Right, they talk about the mechitzas. You ever do that Gemara Bava Basra? About the, all right, whatever. So there is such a discussion. I'm saying so. So uh, So you have a case where you have one choice is to spread them out four amos apart. So they're not going to have kilayim if it's separated by dalet amos. That's one possibility. Possibility number two, which is the more viable option, is to build a mechitza. You build a mechitza in the middle, then you could have them right up, one right up against the mechitza on one side, right up against the mechitza on the other side, and that's where the Gemara in Bava Basra, which is really just a Mishnah in Kilayim, comes in, that if it gets a hole in the mechitza, what do? Right? So, let me just finish this idea. So the Gemara in Erevin says, you can use a Tzuris HaPesach to form that mechitza. You don't have to have a real mechitza, a real brick wall in between the wheat and the grapes. You can just use a Tzuris HaPesach. That's good enough. So the Chazani says, look, Tzuris HaPesach, taking care of a problem, Daraisa. You have Kilaya Kerem, it's very, very much Daraisa. And you have the solution, is Tzuris HaPesach. That's as fake as a mechitza can get, no? I'm saying it's not a real mechitza. Yet, we see the Gemara says that it solves your problem. So, okay. So what do you want me to say? Like, of course it's Daraisa. That's how the Chazanish basically proves his point. Yeah?
The walls that we
described. I'm saying either halachic walls using good asik or good achis mechitzda, or like we didn't get to really, but pasim biros, you have over a certain small area would constitute also a real mechitza. There are real mechitzas in existence besides walls, you know, using various halachos l'moshe misinai, but this is not one of them. Tzuris HaPesach is not one of them. That's what he wants to say. Yeah.
Where do they get the power to say the Matir and Doraisa?
Erevin?
Yeah.
Meaning like an no. So that's, I'm not talking about Tzuris HaPesach. We're talking about Erevin, the matzahs. Saying those are Dorabanan.
Oh, that's Dorabanan.
Right. So basically, Chazanish has what he thinks is an ironclad raya, and I think Tosus. I don't know. Maybe I didn't learn the Tosus correctly. It's quite possible. But I think Tosus is saying that exact same thing. I think Tosus is saying that that's the pshat and that it's Doraisa. So the Achronim that preceded the Chazanish, that were trying to go with the Prima Gadim Shita, that it's only Midrabanan, they have to be mechalik between what you would call a Mechitza HaMakefes versus a Mechitza HaMafsekes, which means that it's true that Midoraisa Tzuris HaPesach does constitute a certain a mechitza. It's a real mechitza. But it's not necessarily a mechitza that's going to be makif you, that's going to surround you so that you're considered inside those walls. Ad kedei kach, that it's now Rishus HaYachid min HaTorah. It's only considered a mechitza in order to basically split up two things. Where does that come from? Okay, we'll have to get back to that. It's also important for Inyani Sukkah to define what type of mechitza Tzuris HaPesach is. There's a big Reb Chaim that discusses this type of Inyan being mechalik between Tzuris HaPesach for different things, for Kilayim and for Sukkah and for Shabbos, obviously. So we'll have to get back to that. But just keep in the back of your minds that if you want to defend the Prima Gadim, you basically have to admit that there is such a thing on a Daraisa level as a Tzuris HaPesach, but no, it's not good enough for Hilchos Shabbos. So the question is why? Okay, so we'll have to try to work on that a little bit better in the future. Okay. We obviously accept the premise that Tzuris HaPesach works on a level of Daraisa. However, we have another problem. So why don't we just put up Tzuris HaPesachs all around every city on earth? So we have a second problem that we mentioned before. The Gemara in Erevin on Chav Beis Amud Aleph discusses the concept of Asi Rabim Umavatli Mechitzos, which means that it's very nice that you have fake walls around the city, but doesn't it get a little pathetic when there are cars driving through those walls? Right? Is that really such an excellent wall when humans and animals and vehicles are all passing right through them? That's all of a sudden, like, that's a major, at the very least, you can call it a major league reisa against the existence of these mechitzos. So you have a big machlokus there. Whether or not this is a problem. You have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is actually in discussing the topic of Pasim Biros, which does come up in Sukkah as well, where there, basically, what were the Pasim Biros for? Pasim Biros were these four diyumdin, that's how they refer to it, right, which Rashi says is a French diyu, which is two amudim, two pillars, right, so you'd have a one amma this way, one amma that way, kimin gam, right, and then they would put four of them around the wells in Rishus Sarabim. So why would they need those wells in Rishus Sarabim? Because when they were traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to be Ola L'Regel, so you get thirsty. So they would need to get some water, sometimes even on Shabbos. So what would they do if they needed water on Shabbos? So the people themselves, no problem. They would just climb down into the well and drink inside the well. The well is surrounded by mechitzas. That's definitely Rosh Hashanah. So you're allowed to climb down the ladder, you know, put a cup into the water and drink from the water all you want. Problem is you had animals that also needed to drink, right? So the animals didn't know how to climb ladders. And they had to get water. So you would have to go down into the well and bring up water from the Rishus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim so that the animals could drink it. And that obviously constitutes a problem of Hotzah. So what they did was is they put up those Pasim Viros in order that area around the well would also be called the Rishus HaYachid. And now, I guess if you wanted to drink outside the well, you could drink outside the well, and your animals could also drink outside the well. So that was the solution of the Pasim B'Ros, and that made it into a real Rosh Hashanah. The problem is, let's say the Pasim B'Ros are right in the middle of the highway, and everyone is just walking right in between them. So now the question becomes, how big of a fake-out is that Erev? How big of a fake-out are those mechitzas? Are those real? Or do we say that it's already a joke? Do we say that those machitzas don't count for anything? So this is a machlokis tanoim. Basically, you have the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that you have to divert the traffic. The big use lashon misalkim letzdadin. You have to divert the traffic around the Pasim B'Ros because if they would be walking through the area that was supposedly sectioned off, that would be mevatel the Rishus HaYachid and turn it back into Rishus Rab. And the Chachamim say you don't have to be misalik them. You don't have to divert the traffic. That's not a problem. And if you look through the Hemshech HaGemara there, Tosfos on that daf, the Ramaschal Kasha. Because the Gemara there brings up a stira within Rabbi Yehuda and a stira within the Rabbanan. So Tosfos discusses the possibility of, as we mentioned before, how many mechitzas do you need for it to be called a Rishus HaYachid Menat Torah? Do you need two or three? So Tosfos basically says that if you hold that Rabbi Yehuda held that you only need two mechitzas deraisa, so they brought in another braisa, which is Soser himself, where you have two real mechitzas, and you put two lechiyayim, two lechis, on either side, and you want to be machshir that area. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that's good. Lechis, last time I checked, are not very intimidating, and they don't stop traffic from driving right through. So how could that be good? On one hand, Rabbi Yehuda says it's good over there. On the other hand, he says that if you have these pasim biros, and you have the traffic walking right through them, it's not good enough. So Tosfos wants to say that the Gemara has to be assuming that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that three mechitzos are good. That's in the Kasha. And that when the Gemara asks the Stira, Rabbi Yehuda holds that three mechitzos are good, midaraisa, and that makes it into Rishus HaYachid. And really the fourth one is only icing on the cake, midarabanan. Because if Rabbi Yehuda would have held two mechitzos are good, midaraisa, it wouldn't have been a Kasha at all. Meaning again, you have two walls and two lechis. So if Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is that two walls are good enough to make it Rosh Hashanah in the Torah, no kasha. There, Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem of Asi Rab Mavali Mechitzos because two walls, it's already there in Midaraisa, we're good to go. And in our case, in Pasen Biros, you don't have any walls in Midaraisa because the Rabbin being Mavatal, all four of them. So what you see an amazing assumption from Tosfos that apparently Asi Rab Mavali Mechitzta is not a problem in the Rabbanan. What do I mean by that? Meaning if you midaraisa, you're good to go, you have your three walls, or in this case, if you would have held Rabbi Yehuda holds only two walls are good enough, you have your two walls, and then all you have are these fake walls for your derabanan walls, so okay. So asi rab mavan mechitza doesn't bother us. That's Tosfos' assumption over there. So that's a tremendous chiddush. For us, that we assume that you need three walls midaraisa, so apparently for the fourth wall, Tosfos would say, yeah, you could have people walking right through that wall, not a problem. Okay, that's Tosfos' big chiddush. So then, this is the way Rav Shechter presented it. That's chiddush number one. That's almost poreach ba'avir. That we don't know what that's based on. Then you have chiddush al gabe chiddush, which is the Mordechai quotes from his Rebbe, the Merami Rutenberg. This is in Remez Tuf Kuf Tes in Erevin. And the Mordechai quotes from Rabbeinu Meir Mirutenberg that any time you have Rishus HaRabim Derabbanan, meaning any time you have a Carmelis, so also there's no problem of Asi Rabim Vat LeMechitza. Meaning he takes that a huge, giant step further. You have Tosfos saying that it's not a problem of Asi Rabim Vat LeMechitza if you have enough walls. Now Maharam Mirutenberg is saying even if you have no walls, but it's only a problem in the Rabbanan, so I don't know if he thinks that that's what Tosfos holds or that's just what he holds. Right? But basically, anytime your problem is only mid Rabbanan, we're not concerned with Asi Rabim Uvat LeMechitza. That's the Maharami Rutenberg's gigantic Chiddush, which we accept, Halacha L'maisa. And that's basically what most Erevin are, you know, that's the premise of most Erevin that we have, Bizman Hazeh. Because most Erevin are Asi Rabim Uvat LeMechitza, and we do consider that a problem, but we only consider it a problem if it's Rishus HaRabim Derabbanan, a Carmelis. Excuse me, it's Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. But if it's a Rishus HaRabim Derabbanan, then we say that we're not concerned with Asim Rabim Mavat LeMechitza. Yeah.
And we said that, just to clarify, it's Rishus HaRabim, that's not Rishus HaRabim Derabbanan, is the same thing as Carmelis?
Yeah.
Like over here, like, is
it... Let's assume for now that most of the five towns, if not all the five towns, constitutes a Carmelis. Right? We'll have to discuss what is Rishus HaRabim. Okay. All right, that's the big chiddush. There's a lot more to say. How much have we done so far? You want to do a little bit more or you want to leave it for next time? All right, so we'll go a little further. So we said what's Rishus HaYachid and how do you make things into Rishus HaYachid? Let's say a little bit of what Rishus HaRabim is. Okay. So basically, there are six plus one, possibly seven criteria I don't know if you need all seven in all the cases. There's seven basic rules concerning Rishus HaRabim that we can lay out. That's the way Rav Schechter presented it. He had seven basic ideas when it comes to Rishus HaRabim. For starters, the main one that we all need, you know, that's the main one that we all know about is the most questionable one. What's the main thing everybody knows about? How many people, right? That's not Pashut, right? That's very much not Pashut that's actually required. There's no such Gemara. There's no such Gemara in all of Shas. There are plenty of Rishonim that say that, but there's no such Gemara. Anyway, so there's a Mishnah in Erevin. For some reason, I left out the daf in my notes. I think it's Nuntes. I have a Gemara Erevin here? Yeah, right here. I think it's Nuntes. It is. Okay, Nuntes, it's the Mishnah in Erevin and Nuntes Amid Aleph. The Mishnah basically starts off talking about Ir Shel Yochid V'Nahasis Shel Rabim Ma'arvin Eskula. So if you have a city that belongs to a Yochid, Shel Yochid, and then it somehow gets sold to the public. So we'll have to figure out what that is. It used to be for the individual, then it's for the public. So you can still make an Erev. So Rashi says, what does it mean that you can still make an Erev? It retains its original status of an Ir Shel Yachid. So what is an Ir Shel Yachid? So Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi is the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Divrei Maskil, Ir Shel Yachid, Tosfos, Ir Shel Yachid, both say, V'peh Echad, Shelo Hayu, Nichnasim Batamid, Shishim Ribo Shel Bnei Adam, V'lo Chashiv Rishus HaRabim, D'lo Damya, L'digale Midbar. So he says it didn't have 600,000 passers, I don't want to say that word, passers-by, that's a very debatable point, didn't have 600,000 people, and it's therefore not similar to the travelers in the Midbar. It didn't have 600,000 individuals. So that's what Rashi says is an Ir Shel Yachid. So he says an interesting thing. If it used to be an Ir Shel Yachid, then it becomes an Ir Shel Rabim. So what does it mean it becomes an Ir Shel Rabim? Shinit Tosfu Ba Diurin. Right, Onikvu Boshvokin. Either more people came to live there, or they started selling better things, and people decided they wanted to come there and buy things. Right, so then it retains its status as Rishus HaYachid Min HaTorah. So what do you see from Rashi and Tosfos? That in order to be Rishus HaRabim Min HaTorah, you have to have 600,000 people. Now many Rishonim get very, very upset about this, and
living there or.
Very good question. Yeah, even up until the days of Rav Moshe, that's a very debatable point. The Shulchan Aruch uses a lashon which the Mishnah Berurah just says, I have no idea where he got that from. He says basically 600,000 ovrim b'chol yom. You have to have 600,000 passers-by every day. That's the lashon of the Mechaber. And the Mishnah Berurah says, I don't know where he invented that lashon from. Doesn't say that. You know? Lamaisa, that's what got famous, because that's the lashon of the Mechaber. But it's not so plushy. Rashi doesn't say that. Tosa doesn't say that. It's very hard to know what exactly the Mechaber meant. Does it mean it has to have 600,000 people on a given time? Could it be there once a year, once a month, once a day? These are all very good questions that you know, have to be dealt with and are dealt with, but not for tonight. Anyway, so basically, Rashi and Tosas have the Shita. The Ramban and the Chiddush Ramban also on the Mishnah goes crazy against Rashi, and he tries to say that it's impossible. Right? I'll read you a little bit of the lashon of the Ramban. It says, "V'zeh inyan mekam makomos pirush Rashi osa she'ein rishus rabim gemura." Says Rashi says this a lot, that you have to have 600,000 in order to be a real Rishus Harab. V'lo yadana minayin lo l'Rashi came. I have no idea where he gets this from. Shalohuzkar b'talmud b'shem makom. Right? He says, the Gemara never said such a thing. Avo balachas gedolos nimtza kein v'arei adavar toli b'ilonos gedolos. So he says, l'maisa, the Bahag did say it. So it's not like Rashi's not, you know, any less than anybody else. So Rashi, Tosas, the Bahag, they all do say that you need 600,000 people. So the Ramban, although he's about to try to annihilate that Shita, he does first say that there are great, great men that do hold of the Shita. And he's Mamshech, tries to bring a lot of rayas. And the basic raya is that we don't find it in the Gemara. And I'll read you a little bit of his lashon towards the end. He says, V'sov davar, ein lanu elamashe muzker betalmud, rishus harabim. So he says, all we can do, he says, what can I do? I don't have this Mesorah, I don't have this Kabbalah that you need 600,000 people. It doesn't say it in Shas. My Rebbe never taught it to me. So what am I supposed to do? You know, I can't just say that it's necessary. So he basically says, what are the qualifications for Rishus HaRabim? This is what they are. Sheish Yisrei Amo, right? Degamrinon Mimishkon, Kedisa Perek HaZorek. Quotes the Gemara Tzadik Tesem at Aleph. In Shabbos, that it has to be 16 amos wide. The street has to be 16 amos wide. The she'eno makura kedamrinam perakam of the Shabbos. Of course, the Gemara on Shabbos daf hey amid aleph that it can't have an awning on top of it. Can't have a roof. Avol diurin lo yalfinon. We don't learn anything about how many people live there. Hilkoch kol mavu shemafulash b'shnei roshin. That's also another qualification. We'll get back to that. Has to be straight through. Has to be Mefulash, umechuvon ad chutz l'medina. It has to be straight until it goes outside the area. V'rachav sheishas re'ama hu rishus harabim gemura b'chol ayaros v'chol kfarim sheba'olam. Everywhere on earth, that constitutes a rishus harabim doraisa. And then he says at the end, what's the deal with the lashon of the Mishnah that ir shel yachid? He said that means that it's talking about it's owned by one person. If you have a private guy or a family that owns the city, that doesn't count as a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, that counts as a Karmelis. So that's where we said before that it can't be owned by an individual. That's based on the Ramban Shita, that it has to be a public area, it can't be a private area. Okay, so that's basically, you end up with two of your qualifications right there. You have Rashi and Tosas' qualification that it needs to be Shishim Ribo, and you have the Ramban's qualification that it can't be privately owned, but he doesn't hold of Rashi's qualification, and Lechora Rashi wouldn't hold of his qualification. Not that that helps so much. You know, Rashi's helps a lot more. I don't think there are too many things. Rav Schechter mentioned Rockefeller Center, I think, or Rockefeller Plaza. I don't know what it's called. It's owned by the Rockefeller family, and once a year they gate it off to prevent people from going in there so they can maintain their bailus. Like, they don't want the city to get a Chezkas Gimel Shanim on it, so they make their macha once a year. I guess the New York State law is once every 10 years?
I'm saying they do it every year, but really the law is...
The law is 10 years? Okay, so there you go. So you have a Chezkas Yud Shanim in the United States.
Yeah.
So there goes the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi and the Chacham, and how many times the Chazaka, New York City Paskind, it's 10. every 10 times, the chazak. Okay, so all right. L'maisa, halacha l'maisa, it's a big, still big machlokis ad hayom hazeh. The Mechaber and Simon Shin Mem Hei Siv Zayin quotes both deos. Some say you do need Shishim Ribo, some say you don't need Shishim Ribo. I mentioned that he uses that strange lashon, which gets everybody all upset. The Bir Halacha there has a serious arichus, and he like tries to pile on the Rishonim that don't hold of it. He's trying to get rid of this sheet of Shishim Ribo. So he says, okay, I'll give you a list of all of our friends who don't hold that you need Shishim Ribo. You know, he says, the Rambam, Rabbi Natan, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Maharam, the Ran, the Rashbam. He gives you the Maharam Malkum for the Rashbam. Anything else? That's it, I think. But it's a who's who of Rishonim, not counting Rashi and Tosfos, right? So it's a pretty serious list. And he says, if any or all of these Rishonim are right, or he also says the Rami Mitzvah, the Sefer Yerayim says it, the Rivosh, the Meiri, Ritva. I said the Ritva already. Sorry, that's not fair. Anyway, So basically, he says, if any or all of these Rishonim are correct, then you're violating an Isser Doraisa of carrying in Rishus Rabim if you're being Selmich on the Shishim Ribo. And that's why he quoted the Ritva again. He says, if you look in the Ritva, Ritva records that the Rov of the Geonim held this way as well, although the Ramban did mention that the Bahag held that you need Shishim Ribo. Okay, I'm just saying, Lamaisa, it's a machlokes arayom hazeh, whether or not you need Shishim Ribo, but most poskim are makel that we do rely on the Shishim Ribo. And that's how you have Erevin, because otherwise you'd have, as we mentioned before, the two problems, either the Prima Gadim's problem that it doesn't work in Rosh Hashanah Deraisa at all, or you'd have the other problem of Asir Rabim of Vatlim Mechitzos, in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, even using the big kula of the Marami Rutenberg. Okay, so like we said before, the six qualifications, let's just try to wrap them up. Six plus one issues Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So we said number one, the Shishim Ribo business, that's a machlokes, needs to be owned by the masses, by the municipality, not by an individual. Can't have a roof on top of it, as we mentioned from the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Hey. It has to be mefulash, which is also mentioned in the Brisa and Masech Shabbos on Vav and Mebeis. Mefulash, there's a lot of details what mefulash means. Let's just say it has to be basically straight. It can't have a dead end on either side of it. It has to go from the beginning of the major city to the end of it. Can't have a dead end anywhere, and it can't have like a right turn. Can't have a serious right angle. You know, like Branch Boulevard turns into Hungry Harbor Road, so that's not mefulash. I mean, there are some poskim who say that. It's still mefulash as long as it's not completely ended, but I think we generally assume that it can't have like a real right turn. It has to be open 24 hours a day. Can't be closed at any time. There's some that say it can't even be closed ever. I heard this somewhere. I don't remember exactly where. I was listening to a shiur once, and the Rav who was giving the shiur said that once a year at like 3 in the morning on Queens Boulevard, see, they have they have doors. Now, they're not like wooden doors. They have cloth doors that are always there since Queens Boulevard, according to many, is a Rosh Hashanah Rabim Doraisa. So what they'll do in order to be Masha the Erev is they'll have the doors are on the Tzuras HaPesach. They're wrapped around. Once a year at 3 o'clock in the morning, they'll stop traffic and close the doors for however long, I don't know, half hour, however long they close the doors. And they'll basically block traffic on Queens Boulevard, and that'll count enough that they're basically, you know, that according to some postgame is good enough that it's considered not a Shisra Abim Doraisa because it's not open all the time. Right? I don't know. I've never seen it. It certainly could be true that that's what they do. But Lamaisa, the Gemara does say the Gemara does say in Maseches Erevin on Vav Amid Beis that Yerushalayim il molid dol soseha nin alos balayla chayavin aleha mishum reshesarabim, that if it were not so that the doors of Yerushalayim were closed at night, or it doesn't say at night, I added that, but oh no, it says at night. It says that the doors of Yerushalayim were closed at night, so then it would be reshesarabim del Raisa. But since the doors of Yerushalayim were closed at night, it's only reshesarabim midrabanan. And that's why they made an Erev. The Rashi and Tosis there assume that they made an Erev in Yerushalayim because it was only Rishas Rabban Derabban. And we mentioned already the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Hey, that we learned from the travelers in the Midbar that it has to be Tezayin Amos wide. It has to be 16 Amos wide. There's one more possibility as to what constitutes Rishas Rabban Deraisa that doesn't necessarily require any of this. The Magen Avram writes very bekitzer, also in Simon Shin Mem Hey Sifkat and Hey, the Magen Avram writes Drachim Ha'ovrim Meir Leir are Rishasarab, which is what we would call Bismanazah highways, right? All highways are Rishasarab. That's what the Magen Avram wants to say. Now again, all highways, that's a very broad statement. Basically means that if you have a major thoroughfare that goes from one city to the next city, that constitutes a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. Why? So there's a Sefer, Orchus Chaim, from the Sapinka Rav. Rav Shecht is apparently a very big fan of this Sefer. And he says that that he gives a running commentary on these parts of Shulchan Aruch. And he quotes that maybe the Pshat in the Magen Avram is that all of these other qualifications are basically to get you back to what's considered a highway. Meaning, all of these other qualifications are that it needs to be so and so big, so and so mafoolish, so and so this, and that. That's all because those are the major qualifications of what constitutes a highway. But there's another major qualification that could also constitute a highway, if it's actually a highway. So if it's actually a highway, you don't have to hack up whether or not there's shishim ribo and how exactly mafoolish it is, etc. It is actually a highway. Everything else that we're calling Rishus HaRabim Doraisa, that's if it constitutes a valid imitation of a highway. So that's the Magen Avram Shita. So you could argue that all highways are also a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. Then what about intercity highways? Inter means one to the other, and intra means within, right? So intra-city highways, like the West Side Highway or the FDR Drive, are those Rishus HaRabim Doraisa? So I once heard Rav Shechter say that he thought that those were real highways, and those, according to the Magen Avram, would be Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. However, somebody told him that Rav Moshe, his apartment on the Lower East Side, was right outside the FDR. He was saying it. Rav Shechter said it about the West Side Highway. He lives in Washington Heights, near the West Side Highway. And Rav Shechter lived near the East Side Highway, which is the FDR. Right, somebody said that Rav Moshe from time to time would look out the window of his apartment and try to estimate how many cars were passing by and if he could chesed how many cars would go by on an average day or something like that. So apparently Rav Moshe was of the opinion that as long as it's an intra-city highway, then it's not going to be Rishus HaRabim Doraisa automatically, and it still meets the qualifications. So that's if you consider that valid, way of figuring out whether or not that's what he held. Because also, if you see his shita when it comes to Brooklyn, it's lav dafka that you need 600,000 passers-by on a particular thing. It could be telling something totally different. But anyway, okay. That's a basic overview in terms of Rishuyos and in terms of what you need, what an Erev does work for, what an Erev doesn't work for. And maybe next time we'll either do a little more details within these types of issues and talk about a little more city-related topics, or maybe we'll go back to the Sukkah-related stuff and we'll try to apply some of the Dinam of Machitzos and what constitutes valid Erev in terms of Erev and why or why not that would work for a Sukkah. All right.